You know, Paul gives us a great verse in the Bible, and Bill has just read it for us from Romans chapter 8. He reminds us that the Roman Christians have an opportunity to know about the chemistry of the cross. And we have an opportunity to learn of the chemistry of the cross. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul tells us that God can take all of the circumstances of life, both good and bad, sweet and bitter, and blend them together into something that is for our good and also for His glory. It is verse 28 of our text, and it simply says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." Today I want us to take a look at this little verse because I think it says so much to us and what God has done for us, what God is doing for us, and what God will do for us. You know, when we look at this verse by the Apostle Paul, we should know immediately and beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are looking at a promise that has been given to us by God. And we can always be assured of God's promises. You know, in the first words of verse 28 in Romans chapter 8 simply says, "We know." And to me, that just tells the whole story of the promise. We know that all things will work together for our good. There is no need for us to question what God is doing for us, what He has done for us, or what He is going to do for us, because we know that it will be for our good. This is an ironclad promise from God Himself. It's just like the promise that He made to Abraham that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. In speaking of Abraham, it said, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." I want to tell you, my friends, as we begin reading in Genesis 1 and as we continue through God's Word and we end in Revelation 22, there have been many promises that have been made to us by God. And we can take every one of those promises, to coin a phrase, and take it to the bank because we know that it's going to happen. God's promises are real. God's promises are true. And they will happen. God's reputation rides upon His Word because His Word has never failed. All things will work for our good. Now, you know, sometimes we don't see that, do we? Sometimes we can't understand why something that is going on in our lives, how can this possibly be for my good? But before He's finished, it will be. And we need to know that. Now, and there's something else about God's promises. They are complete. There is a totalness of God's promise to us. You notice that Paul, when he gave us this verse, he didn't say some things will work together for our good. He didn't say most things will work together for our good. But yet he said all things will work together for our good. You know, when we go to the dictionary, Mr. Webster will tell us what the word all actually means. The word all actually means the whole of, the greatest possible of. Every member, every individual, everything is inclusive. The whole number, the whole sum. Nothing is excluded. That's what all means. We can go to the Bible and we find many alls, if you will, in the Bible. All things were created by God. For those who come to our Vacation Bible School Saturday, you're going to know that's what we're going to talk about. The everything that was created by God. Christ came to save man from all sin, not excluding one. We are to all go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And all will stand before God in judgment. No one will be left out. No one will be excluded. God's promises are total. They are complete. And no one will be able to get around them. And oh, how we have tried. But we simply can't do it. Everything in life, God said, for the child of God is working for your good. Even if you don't understand it. Even if you question it. Even if you don't like it. Because sometimes we don't like the things that are best for us, do we? But everything, regardless of what they are, is going to work out for our good if we love Him and if we are called according to His purpose. And not only do these things work out for our good, they also work out for His glory. Now, I want us to notice some things where God is working and how it does come out for our good and to His glory. First of all, pleasant things of life will work out for our good. Now, you know, we all enjoy pleasant things of life, don't we? We enjoy some of the things that we do. We enjoy going on vacations. We enjoy payday on Friday. We enjoy a lot of things in life. We enjoy watching certain shows on TV. We enjoy getting out and hearing the birds and watching the grass grow and the beauty of the flowers. We enjoy all of those things, don't we? That's good for us, isn't it? Yeah. It's easy to see how sweet things work for our good. Good home, good family, good health, much wealth. These are things that make life sweet, and they make life good, and it makes us feel good about things, doesn't it? Yeah. In fact, these blessings from the Lord, and they are from the Lord, they should cause us to want to be better Christians so that we can enjoy them in a better way. In fact, we ought to thank God and praise Him for these blessings. At least that's what the Hebrew writer tells us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Because the sweet things in life are for our good. But then so are the distressing things of life that happens to us. God can make work for our good. Let me ask you this. Let's say, what if we were invaded by a foreign country and many of us were carried off into slavery? Would that be good? Of course not. Was Pearl Harbor good? Of course not. Was 9/11 good? Of course not. But you know, through God's hands, some good things have come as a result of these tragedies. And you and I, we sit here today and we have all gone through tragedy. Things in life have not always gone well with us. We may have lost homes. We may have lost profits. We may have lost members of our family, our loved ones. And we question with every thought, how can this be good? But it's amazing that God can take some of these things, all of these things, and work them out for our good. We have several examples in the Bible where the Word of God, in where extremely sorrowful things happened to the people, and they worked out for good in the end. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Now, who in here has ever said that? But this is the man after God's own heart whose things didn't always go well for him. And he said, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, what's important about learning God's statutes? Because learning God's statutes, obeying God's statutes, is going to get you life with Him forever. And that's good. And sometimes we have to be taught and shown in harsh ways that God's way is best. And sometimes God's way is harsh. But they always turn out for our good. Look at the life of Joseph. Joseph had a lot of things go wrong in his life, starting as a youngster. And in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he's explaining this to his brothers who has come to see him in Egypt. And he tells them, he says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Yeah, you put me in a well. You sold me to strangers. I spent a life in slavery. I spent life in prison. I was accused of sins that I did not commit and was punished physically for it. And in all of these things that went wrong in my life, God was molding that and using that for something that is far greater than I. And sometimes we need to understand that what God does with us sometimes is far greater than we are ourselves. And His purpose is greater. And it will turn out for our good. And sometimes we're not able to see that. But then if we're capable of sitting back and looking at the whole picture, it's always for our good and for God's glory. And again, sometimes that's a hard thing to swallow. It's a hard thing to accept. But God means it for your best. And we need to understand that when things go wrong in life. Now, I want to look at the foundation of this promise that God has. You know, it's impossible for us to really fathom the power of God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is able to take control over every situation in life. And you know, sometimes I'm afraid we forget that God is actually in control. You know, as Jesus was leaving the earth, He announced to His disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now again, we go back and we look at that "all." That means everything. All power, all authority. And some translations translate the word authority to power. Same word, same meaning. Everything is in God's hands. And when we take our eyes off of Him and when we focus our attention on what's going on in our lives and we try to figure it out through our measly means of figuring things out, we're bound to fall. Because we're not capable sometimes of figuring out what's best for us. Until it's too late and we find ourselves in a trap that we can't get out of ourselves. You know, Job proclaimed in Job 42 and verse 2, "I know that you can do everything," he said, "and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." Now, we all know that when everything is said and done, God is going to have things His way. And there's not much you and I can ever do about that. But isn't it gratifying to know that as God is doing things His way, He is doing it for your good and for my good. And we can be satisfied with that, if we're willing to accept that. You know, we need to remember, friends, if life closes in, well, when life closes in, it's going to close in. We need to remember that if we belong to God, God stands by us, He stands with us, and He is with us through every circumstance that we face, and He will see to it, even though there's negativity in these circumstances, He will see to it that it will, in the end, work out for our good. And we need to know that. Now, Let's look at something else. Let's look at the nature of God's promise. I have to tell you, when verse 28 was written, Paul knew that it wasn't going to be for everybody. This promise is not for all. This promise is only to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You know, if all things work together for the good of those who love God, the opposite must be true for those who don't. Yeah, we know He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the good and the evil. We know that. But I got to tell you, friends, you and I are sitting here tonight or this morning, and we are blessed in ways that people outside of these walls are not. And the reason we have these blessings is because we are children of God. He takes care of His people. If you love Him, if you're called for His purpose, God is going to take care of you. That's the nature of this promise. You know, when you think about maybe preaching or teaching, it does one of two things. It's not always sweet, is it? It is going to bless those who love God. It's going to be blessing those who follow God. It's going to be blessing those who are obedient to God. But it is going to bruise and convict those who don't. You know, if you went to a physician and you didn't trust what he had to say or what he wanted you to do, and you didn't follow his prescription and his treatment, as a result, you're probably not going to get well. If you don't listen to what the physician says, you're not going to get well. And we've got people who do that. Jesus is the great physician. He can heal any and He can heal all. But you have to follow His prescription. And if you will do that, it will work out for your good. If you don't, it won't. Thus, if you will not receive the blessings of life from Him, it's because you have chosen not to follow Him. The promise is not to you unless you qualify as one who loves Him. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus compares Himself to a door. We've all seen the picture of Jesus standing at the door. We got a song, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know, that door does two things. Jesus is standing at that door. To the saved, He is the door to the glories of heaven and eternal life. To the lost, He is the door of damnation and eternal death. Because it will be He who decides the door you go through. So you can see how important it is for us to love God and to be called according to His purpose. Finally, I want to take a look at the result of God's promise. I want to point out one thing at the beginning of this point. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 is not a verse designed to make you happy. The purpose of God in turning out everything for your good may actually be something you don't want. It may bring you down a direction that you don't want to go. You may disagree with what's going on in your life. But that's not why God is doing what He's doing in your life. You see, the purpose of God is not to make you smile, is not to make you wealthy, not to make you satisfied with the way you are. The thing that God is doing is to make you more like Jesus. That's His purpose. That's how it turns out for your good, because we are made in the image of God, and that means we're made in the image of the Son. And everything that God does for us is for the purpose of making us more like Him. And you know, it didn't end when you came up out of the water dripping wet from baptism. Many people think, well, I have been baptized into Christ. That's all that matters. I'm a Christian now. But listen, God is just now starting with you. Now that He has you as His child, He is going to mold you. He is going to shape you. He is going to change you into His image. That is for your good. And we need to know that. The whole purpose of Romans 8:28 is to teach us that God has an eternal plan for our good. Whether we recognize it, whether we realize it or not. He is reproducing us to be like Him. God always saves the best for last, I guess you might say. And the truth of this great promise is this. One day, when all of our plans, when all of our hopes, when all of our dreams are gone, and if we leave this life as God's child, we will be like Him. And that, my friend, is for our good. Everything that we have endured, everything that we have enjoyed in this life will be because He has chipped away at you, and like a diamond cutter, He has molded us and shaped us into a shape that is like Him, and that is for our good. His chemistry for our lives is that we can be assured that we will have eternity, and that is for our good. And if we have to suffer in the process, that's for our good. I mean, look at the lives of the early Christians, how they suffered, how they were persecuted. They were imprisoned, they were beaten, they were killed. And none of us have ever had to go through any of that. But look at that reward. It was for their good. And oh, they are so happy today that God did what He did for them for their good. Today I want to ask you a question. Are you allowing God to do what is best for you in your life? Are you allowing Him to mold your life in the way that it needs to be? Not like you want it to be, but the way it needs to be? Because if you're not allowing God to mold your life, if you're taking your own hands and you're shaping it into what you want it to be, my friends, you're going to find yourself on the wrong end in eternity. Because you haven't been doing it God's way. You have not allowed God to do what is best for you. So this morning we want to give you an opportunity. If you're outside the body of Christ, let God do what is best for you, and that is to save your soul. Through obedience to the gospel, God will save your soul. He will put you into the kingdom of His glory, and you can be a part of His family. And you can allow Him to mold you and shape you and change you into the way you need to be, and it will be for your good. And it may be, Christian friend, that you have seen some of the things that God has done for you, and you look at it as if He's done this to me and not for me. And you need to go back to thinking of what God does for us, not to us. Because everything God does, He does for us. Sometimes in trying to do things for ourselves, we do things to ourselves that is not good. And there's a difference. Let God work for you. Let Him do what is best for you. And Christian, if you have not been letting God do what is best for you, start it now. Repent of what you have changed that is wrong. Come back to God and let Him work for you. All things work together for the good of those who love Him and who have purposed in their hearts to live for Him. Please be sure that you are one of those. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.